They say that an artwork is complete not when there is no more to be added, but when there is no more to be taken away.
Nobody told these people, thank God. Over design, the game set gloriously went too far. Episode 1, you can't improve on perfection, but you can damn well try. Alright, first things first most, everyone knows about the game I'm about to talk about. There, you can already see the falling blocks, can't you? It's currently owned by a company that hates unlicensed reproductions, fair enough I suppose, and also enforces an infamous set of secret guidelines, and despises its beloved old Tetris the Grandmaster series with the fury of a trillion suns! Fuck Hank Rogers! Fuck Hank Rogers! Fuck Hank Rogers!
Deep breaths. Think non-violent thoughts.
But tweaks aside, everyone on all sides seems to agree on one thing. It's basically perfect. It's not like Breakout, where adding power-ups, monsters, and a giant moai head results in a second all-time classic. With perhaps one exception, Cough Tetris 99 Cough, messing with the formula hasn't produced anything particularly enduring. For example, putting more squares on the falling blocks hasn't worked. Even the rights holders themselves didn't manage anything groundbreaking when they released Bombless, or added a Trapped Explorer, or did whatever this was.
Hi, I'm the new improved Rick Mail, and I've just become a grandmaster at Tetris 2. With its new dimensions, shapes, and shading, it's the even more impossibly difficult puzzle game from Nintendo.
But a couple of unofficial DOS versions weren't content to add one new idea, and that somehow made all the difference. I'll have to borrow music from the second game. There. 1995's Drac is a Canadian Tetris clone from back when indies released free demo versions and called it shareware. It features not just occasional larger shapes, but numerous types of squares that comprise them, including... squares that roll until settling, squares with brief sideways or diagonal gravity, and squares that destroy other squares and sometimes themselves, usually only specific ones that flash so you don't have to memorize all the interactions, and some gimmicks cause blocks to stay in the air afterwards. There are also special level types among its 100 levels. Level 3 doesn't count cleared lines, or cleared them at all, instead counting blocks destroyed. And level 2 is, oops, all 2x2 squares! Sounds boring, until you remember the rolling in weird gravity. And then there is 1993's Nyet 3, Revenge of the Mutant Stones, a German affair that takes a different approach. Aesthetically, where Drac has serious fantasy theming, Nyet 3 leverages Tetris's Russian origins with its mascot, a comical Russian spy. But beyond that, there are its 126 diverse levels, which, rather than dabbling in weird blocks, mess with just about everything else, level by level. Dropped squares might move or vanish, new ones might appear, hazards might stop or transform your blocks in midair, and that's just in the first few levels. I haven't even gotten to the ghosts or snakes yet. Fortunately, the cash you earn, collect, and even win in occasional wagers can be spent on various items, including bombs, next block displays, game slower downers, gimmick negators, red paint, useful when blocks turn invisible, and even the ability to save your progress more than once. Curious? I thought only the Nomad Soul did something like that. So the $1 million question is, are they good? Well, if your eyes glazed over during the part of the Drac section where the music sped up, honestly, same here. It's fascinating and even entertaining at first, but the sheer rapidity of its random square-type change-ups makes things a touch too frustrating for my liking and really just becomes a chaotic blur. Meanwhile, Nyet 3 is just plain fun, thanks to its distribution of diverse gimmicks throughout its wacky levels. And wise selection of level order and spending of resulting cash can get you around any gimmick you might have trouble with. Well, it's 5 minutes on my sundial. Join me repeatedly as I ponder the following questions. What's the best worst game ever distributed by magazine? In what game engine did pushing it too far become the norm? Can you have fun playing a game you know you'll never complete? And can you even over-design an adventure game?